You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. Today, we're going to be looking at some undervalued and overvalued players, which can translate into some buy low and sell high type of guys, as well as doing a fantasy check-in on a few teams in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Phoenix Suns, the Portland Trailblazers, and the Sacramento Kings. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right, guys, let's have a look at some players who are potentially some buy low and sell high guys. Quickly, just an apology for the state of my voice. It's quite crackly. I've got a blocked nose. I'm coughing. So, yeah, things could be a little bit spluttery today. My voice may not have its usual timbre that you are used to. So I do apologize about that. Let's look at some underperforming players, looking at their ranks over the last couple of weeks for some guys who are potentially slumping that you might be able to buy at somewhat of a discount. And the first guy I want to talk about is Andrew Wiggins. Not that he's necessarily this great high upside player, but over the last 2 weeks, he's outside the top 210 ranked players. He's still averaging 18 points, but the percentages are putrid. 38% from the field, 69%
giggity
from the free throw line. He's only hitting 1-3 a game. His usual subpar rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. Now, we know that Wiggins is not a great fantasy player. He's not a great real-life player, but he can be better than this. So it's worth throwing your worst player on your roster at whoever has Wiggins and seeing if you can acquire him, even if it's just a streamer guy that you picked up. Maybe you added Fred VanVleet from the Raptors. You can move on from him. Because I think Wiggins, the shooting will be better than 38%. Pretty confident about that. He'll have stretches of top 60 type value. That will happen for him at times. He's not consistent with it, clearly. But he will be better than this as we move forward. The next guy I want to talk about is Serge Ibaka, who's ranked 170th over the last 2 weeks. He's not shooting well at all, just 37% from the field and an absolutely abysmal 33% from the free throw line. He's blocking shots, 2 a game still, 6.5 boards, but under 10 points, under 1-3, and it's really that massive drop-off in his efficiency that's caused him to plummet down the rankings. He'd really exceeded a lot of expectations this season, Ibaka, with his play when he was named the starting center for the majority of games after playing power forward and sucking for most of last season. But since he's returned from that knee problem, he is really struggling. So I think that it is a significant buy low opportunity. He's 54th on the season. He's shooting 53% there, which is way up on last season. But even if he comes back to 48%, that's still an 11 percentage point rise over where he's been over the last 4 weeks. And those free throws are absolutely certain to rise. The next guy I want to talk about as a buy low is the Donovan Mitchell, 164th over the last 2 weeks. 16.5 points, actually averaging fewer points than Andrew Wiggins. 4 assists, 1.4 steals, and shooting just terrible numbers. 34% from the field and 65% from the line, which includes 25% from three-point land. In fact, over the last month, not even the last week, Mitchell is outside the top 115 players because that field goal percentage is so poor. He's getting no rebounds, really. The assists are down from last season as well. The steals are there. He's still hitting threes. The usage is at the same level, 30% usage. It's just that the shots aren't going in. Now, I expected him to take somewhat of an efficiency jump this season with a larger free throw rate, but he's finding it tough from three, finding it tough from two, finding it tougher from the line. He's not getting to the line as much. It's really been a massive disappointment from Donovan Mitchell. And while, you know, I thought he could crack into the top 30 this season, that seems like a very, very far off chance and pretty much unlikely to happen. I also feel pretty good about him getting back into the top 100, and that's going to come when that field goal percentage jumps up from 34%. So he is a real buy low, and this is not a 2 week thing. This is a month or even a season long thing, and I think he will get better than where he currently is. At number 158 is CJ McCollum. Now, I talked about him in yesterday's main podcast as the dud of the night and said I didn't expect him to get anywhere back to that top 30 value that he's been putting up in previous seasons, but he's 158th over the last 2 weeks, so he's clearly better than that. He should be a top 100 player as we move forward. He's 79th on the season, and it is again coming down to some poor shooting. 77 from the line, 41% from three. The lack of assists this season, I don't think they're changing. He's never a guy that generates steals. That's not changing. But over the last 2 weeks, just 1-3 a game on 21%. He's been at 40% for the last four seasons, so there is going to be an increase there. He's shooting 33% on the season. He could have a 44% second half of the season to bring him back up close to those numbers. So there is some room for improvement, but don't bank on him going back to being a top 50 guy, although there is every possibility he is a top 40 guy from here on now. Just I don't think he ends the season as that sort of a player. I also think that's probably a low probability. Zach LaVine over the last 2 weeks is 135th. Again, he just isn't quite the same guy. He hasn't got one steal or one block since returning from his injury. He's averaging just 2.3 assists. The efficiency's okay. It's never going to stick at that level it was to begin the season. The assists are down because Chris Dunn is back, so he's not going to be that top 20, top 30 guy we saw when everyone was hurt to begin this season, but he will be better than this. A steal or so will come. The assists should push back to three a game. The usage is still high, 31%, 22 points. All that's pretty nice, and he will get better than this. So don't look at this as the rest of the season for LaVine. Eric Bledsoe, the next guy I want to talk about. I've talked about him quite a bit on the podcast recently. Minutes are down. There's been some blowouts involved there. He's not generating steals at the moment, just 0.9 steals over the last seven games, 46 from the field and 86 from the line. He's a 49, 50% field goal guy. He's a 1.7 to 2 steals guy. Those two things come back into play, and we're talking back to top 50 for Eric Bledsoe. So it hasn't been a great season for him, no doubt. He was a top 20-ish type of player last year. He hasn't gotten back to that level this season with a full year of Malcolm Brogdon, but he is still a top 50 guy over the course of the year, and that's while averaging just 1.3 steals, and he was at 2 last season. He's been at 2 steals 2 of the last 3 years, so there is significant hope that that can come back up, although, of course, it is a different system with Mike Budenholzer there. 114th ranked player is Aaron Gordon. 42 and 70 is his percentages. As usual, not much in the defensive numbers, but only 14% and under 20 usage. So while the defensive numbers I don't think improve, he's not a great shooter, that can improve, but that usage should also come up for Gordon, and he won't be a top 30 or top 40 guy. I think he can easily go back to top 70, top 80, and I think that he is a buy low at the moment while that usage is quite limited. Al Horford dealing with knee injuries. He is the 97th ranked player, averaging 11 points with 4 assists. The blocks are well down, only 0.4 per game, as well as the 25 minutes. If whoever has him on their team is unaware that he's still being eased back from the knee injury, and I don't know why they wouldn't be aware of that, but you never know, some dumb shit happens all the time. This is an opportunity to try and get Horford. Now, he's not a top 30, a top 40, probably not even top 50 guy, but you might be able to extract a couple of rounds of value by acquiring him at this stage. And the last undervalued guy I want to talk about is Benny Simmons, 78th ranked player at the moment, 16, 11, and 8 with one steal on 56%. The free throws are a massive issue, just 51% over the last 2 weeks and 58% over the course of the season. He's ranked 37th over the year. Part of the reason why his numbers are down at the moment are his blocks, his steals are a little bit down. They're from 1.4 down to 1. And that is obviously impacting what he's doing. Also about a 2 percentage point drop in his field goal percentage, which is relatively significant given the sort of player that Simmons is. So I think that he jumps back up to being that top 35, top 30 guy. And at the moment, we're seeing a real downturn in Simmons' numbers, and I think that will correct itself. So if you can acquire him at a cheaper rate, now would be the good time to do it. Let's look at the other side now. Some overperforming players. Larry Nance Jr., pretty obvious one here. 18th over the last 2 weeks. Tristan Thompson's return is imminent, and that I think is going to impact Nance's minutes and positioning at center. He's averaging 32 minutes a night over the last six. He's getting steals and blocks and high field goal percentage. And I believe in him as a player. I believe in him as a fantasy asset. I don't believe in him as a top 20 guy, in large part because he's not a top 20 guy, and secondly, because I don't believe in Larry Drew. So any sort of top 30, top 40 value you could perhaps extract from Nance, I would absolutely be trying to do that. The Rooster Danilo Gallinari, the 22nd ranked player, averaging 22 points on 53% shooting. That's the big red flag there, is that shooting number. He's not that good of a shooter in general through his career, where 30, 40 games into the season, he's been doing it, obviously, but that is prime for some regression for the Rooster. He should push back to maybe the 50 mark, 45 mark, that sort of an area. And of course, there's the injury risk with Gallinari. Now, he's been healthy all season, so maybe you can mitigate that concern in another fantasy manager by saying, well, look, he's played all of this season. They were fluke-ass injuries that he had last season, so maybe he's okay. The bigger red flag I'm concerned about is how high this shooting is. And when that drops off, then the ranking can tumble 30, 40 spots pretty comfortably. So that's the bigger red flag I have for Gallinari rather than the injuries. The 28th ranked player at the moment is Justice Winslow over the last 2 weeks. That is coming on the back of some unsustainable performances, 50% shooting and 2.6 steals. And he's averaging 17 points. Okay, maybe he can do that. 6.4 rebounds, 4.8 assists. That's all realistic. 2.6 steals is sky high. 50% from the field is huge as well, considering he is a bad free throw shooter, 57% from the line during that same time frame. He's up and down. He's fluky with the shooting. He can go on cold streaks, no doubt. And he is a must-roster player. But as a top 30 guy, if you can pair these numbers, pair it with he's the starting point guard now. Don't even throw in the mention that it's probably until Goran Dragic returns, because that comment from Spoelstra could be taken both ways. And we don't actually know which way Spoelstra meant it. It could be that he is our starting point guard for the rest of the season. So use that information. And even if he is the starting point guard the rest of the season, that doesn't mean he keeps generating 2.6 steals and shooting 50%. Those numbers are bound to fall. And I think a 60-70 type rank is more realistic for Winslow for the rest of the season. And number 43 is Tommy Bryant of the Washington Wizards, 26 minutes a game, 16.5. They're okay numbers, they're great numbers actually, 26 minutes a night. It's being fueled a little bit by Markieff Morris's absence, which could be a longer term thing, not denying that. And I think Bryant is a 12-team league guy, but he's shooting 76% from the field and 88% from the line for a true shooting of 82%. Literally nobody can keep those numbers up. And his field goal percentage has a Z score of 3.45. His next highest category is free throws at 0.8, the two numbers which I imagine drop down, and the next highest is rebounding at 0.5. So the difference between field goal percentage and rebounding is a sevenfold difference. So when that field goal percentage drops from 76%, even down to, say, on DeAndre Jordan level of 63-64%, Stephen Adams numbers, it's still good, but it causes you a 30-40 spot drop in rankings. And if Morris comes back instead of playing 26 minutes, he plays 19, 21, 22 minutes. The value is not there for Tom Bryant. So this is a massive sell high if you can achieve it, maybe for a top 60 type of player, top 70 type of player, because there are a couple of red flags there that are standing out. Trae Young has been impressive of late, the 46th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 16.5 with 1.3 steals. We have no worries with his assist numbers. That's been a constant all season. But what he is doing now is he's hitting his shots. Now, he was missing them at a crazy rate, like 25% from three. Over the last 6 games, he's at 50% from three. So both of those numbers are fake. He's going to settle somewhere in the middle. He's at 49% from the field. Again, way higher than the 36% he was shooting, but that's going to regress as well. And while I do think Trae Young is a must-roster player, these levels of production, especially this level of for shooting, which happens when you're so bad, then you will have these hot streaks to try and balance it out. It's not going to stick at this sort of a level. So any sort of, if you could acquire him a top 50 guy in exchange for him, I would absolutely look at that. But I do believe that he won't go back to being that piss poor shooter that he was to begin this season. Number 48 is Lou Williams in only 25 minutes a game, 22 points on 51% shooting, including 44% from three. So that field goal percentage is obviously sky high. The 6 assists is also probably a little bit unsustainable as well. And 33% usage is absolutely monstrous. So there are a couple of things that stand out to me there that could drop off for Lou. The minutes are the concern. 25 minutes a night is fine, but nobody does this in 25 minutes a night on an ongoing basis. So Williams pushes back to maybe being an 80, a 70, a 90, that sort of a rank type of player, not a top 50 guy where he currently is. I know I've been saying this for all season. Marcus Morris is the 50th ranked player. It just feels like it's going to drop at some point, but maybe it's not. 19 points a game, almost 3 triples. 55, 93, and 54%. Now, he is shooting unbelievably this season, 44% from three this year. That is astonishing. He was a 37% guy last year, and he was 42.9% from two-point range. So he has taken like 7 percentage point jumps in his field goal percentage and his three-point percentage, which is a massive jump, a 10 percentage point true shooting leap, as well as a 9 percentage point free throw rate. So that efficiency sort of increase at this level in someone's career is pretty much unheard of at age 29. Absolutely astonishing stuff from Marcus Morris. The minutes may stick. He is a must-roster guy, but I don't know how this level of efficiency for a guy who's been historically inefficient, never had league average true shooting before, to being one of the best shooters in the NBA. I just am going to keep going with history and think that there is going to be a regression coming here. At number 53 is Jeremy Grant of the Oklahoma City Thunder, averaging 15.5, 58% from the field, 1.6 blocks and 1.6 steals is what's driving his value. And he is a good shot blocker. 1.6 steals is high. 58% from the field is high. I think he's more of that 80 to 100 type of player, not a guy knocking on the door of the top 50, which is where he currently is. And the last guy I'll talk about is Noah Vonleh of the New York Knicks, 33 minutes a game, 11 and 12 with 1.5 blocks. He was previously inflated by high field goal percentage. That has dropped back down. His minutes, his production, they do vary quite a bit. I have zero trust in what Fizdale's going to do. Is Porzingis ever going to return? Vonleh could be in and out of the rotation. I've really been impressed with what he's done this season, but I think that if anyone would like to give me a top 70 type player back for Vonleh, I would do that in a heartbeat because I just don't have any confidence in consistency with Vonleh. And that'll wrap it up for today's edition of Buy Low and Sell High. Guys, make sure you are subscribing. Hit that subscribe button and I'll see you later. Fantasy check-in now for the Philadelphia 76ers. Jimmy Butler on a bit of a slide at the moment, the 44th ranked player over the last couple of weeks. Not shooting very well, 42% from the field. He's still getting decent assists, almost 4.5, 2.2 steals. There's been some iffy moments in terms of fit here in Philadelphia. His three-point shooting is way off. I still think that he is a little bit of a buy low at the moment, to be honest, with that lack of field goal percentage and poor three-point shooting, and the usage also down at only 22%. JJ Redick just hovering about where he needs to be, but I guess the big waiver wire guy here we need to talk about is Timothy John McConnell, who's the 103rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, the best steals stream option out there, averaging 1.5 steals, but also 4.7 assists. That's very Marcus Smart-like, and if I'm going to say that Marcus Smart is a 12-team league guy, then at the moment, McConnell is close to it. Now, his value is a little bit buoyed also by shooting 56% from the field, minimal attempts, of course, but those steals and assist numbers are useful. The role is going to be fairly consistent, at least until Markel Fultz returns, and I've got the feeling that Fultz will never play for Philadelphia again. So McConnell is an interesting guy. Jonah Bolden, also someone we need to pay attention to for deeper leagues. He blocks shots, the field goal percentage is strong, he can hit threes, he can get steals. He played more minutes than Mike Muscala last game. He could cut into some of Wilson Chandler's playing time. It's just a very deeper league ad at the moment, but he's rostered in 0% of Yahoo leagues is Jonah Bolden. So I'd go and have a look, see if he's around, and maybe make a switch there just to get him at the back end because he is starting to gain more trust of coach Brett Brown. Fantasy check-in for the Phoenix Suns. DeAndre Ayton absolutely killing it at the moment, a top 10 player over the last 2 weeks on the back of some massive shooting numbers, 68% from the field on 22% usage. That's 22 points, 14 rebounds. The blocks are still not ideal, but those other numbers are great. Devin Booker, a top 15 guy as well, and there's no reason that Booker can't remain in that area. The surprise guy here we're going to talk about is Mikal Bridges, a top 70 player over the last 2 weeks, who's rostered in only 39% of Yahoo League. So he's around. He's averaging just 9 points, but it's 2 threes, 1.7 steals, 0.9 blocks, 47 and 86% as his percentage numbers, 4 rebounds, is solid enough production, really buoyed by those steals. Now, if the steals drop, then he's in a little bit of trouble. But if you're looking to add one of those guys outside of the big three in Phoenix, Ayton, Booker, Warren, Bridges is the guy that I have over Oubre, over Holmes, over Jackson pretty clearly, and probably over D'Anthony Melton. But I'll talk D'Anthony Melton now, whose minutes are pushing way up. He can be an excellent source of steals, averaging 1.9 steals in just 23 minutes a game. The minutes are pushing up. Hopefully they realize they're giving him the minutes over Jackson and over Jamal Crawford is a better option. And he's someone, if you've got the luxury of stashing a player, I think that by the time we get to February, Melton's going to be playing 28 minutes a night, and that's going to make him close to a top 100 player. Holmes is just dependent on what Ayton does, and Oubre just isn't a good fantasy player who needs 34 minutes a night to really be a top 100 guy, and he's not getting that with Bridges there with Jackson around. Jackson, obviously not a 12-team league guy either. Fantasy check-in on the Portland Trailblazers now. Yusuf Nurkic buoyed by that massive 20-20 5x5 game. He is up to the top 30 over the last couple of weeks, 15 and 11. His free throws are real this year. The efficiency is up. He's getting steals and blocks. He looks like a massive steal in drafts where he could have been taken around 70 or 80, and he's a top 50 guy, I think, for the rest of the season. But I guess the player we've got to talk about coming up at the moment is Mo Harkless. 30 minutes in the last three games that he's played, steals and blocks, ahoy, high field goal percentage. That's what you want him for. He's not going to be a high scoring sort of a player. He can be a McCall Bridges sort of a guy, a low-scoring Kyle Anderson type of player who gets you those defensive numbers with high field goal percentage, and it could push him very comfortably into 12-team discussion. In fact, 137th over the last 2 weeks in only 28 minutes a night, that's already in 12-team discussion. So he's a guy that doesn't fit every team, but he's got some value there. CJ McCollum struggling outside the top 150 over the last couple of weeks. I think that's a bit of a buy low for Siege. While the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, just the 9 points, 154th over the last 2 weeks, and he's in one of those real slumps with his shooting, 36% from the field and 32 from three. We know that that's going to vary quite a bit, but the rebounding is solid. He still provides steals. He helps some teams. He doesn't help all of them. Of course, guys like Evan Turner and Zach Collins had some value early in the season. That's done. The guy on the come up here is Seth Curry. So in, say, 16-team leagues, I'd look at Seth. He's available in 98% of Yahoo leagues. He's taken that role away from Nick Stauskas. He's hitting 2.3 threes a game, albeit at 58%. But this guy can be a 44% three-point shooter, and getting a consistent source of threes in those consistent minutes can be really valuable. And I think Seth Curry is becoming that guy now. Fantasy check-in now on the Sacramento Kings. We know De'Aaron Fox is killing it. He's suffering a little bit of a dip in his efficiency at the moment, especially the line. He struggles from the free throw line, and that's what always gives me pause about that high field goal percentage. But over the last 7 games, he's only shooting 44% from the field and still is maintaining top 30 numbers. He will be hard-pressed to not be a top 50 guy for the rest of the season, putting up strong numbers. While Bud Hield, I thought that he could be close to a top 50, maybe top 60 guy this season, and I thought that would be on the back of that improved steal rate we saw last season. Well, that hasn't been there, but what we're getting is a massive usage bump, great efficiency, which he's always been used, able to do. But he was a guy playing 24 minutes a night last season. He's up over 30, scoring at will and putting up great numbers, while Bogdan Bogdanovic, still under-rostered, 25% available in Yahoo, a top 80 run over the last couple of weeks. I think he looks that you get even better than that, a must-roster guy. Willie Cauley-Stein, one of the worst shot-blocking centers in the NBA, but provides value in other areas. But the other guy that we do need to talk about who is available in a ton of leagues is Iman Shumpert, who's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks because he's generating 1.7 steals and hitting 2.3 triples. There's no fancy shooting numbers here. 40% from the field is not good. 42% from three is obviously okay, and that's probably due for some regression. But it's all coming from the 26 minutes a night, the two triples, the 1.7 steals, and that can be of use to many different fantasy people. Even if it's not a 12-team league, in 14s and 16s, he needs to be rostered, and he's available in a lot of those. If we're looking for guys potentially on the come-up, Harry Giles put together a nice game on Tuesday. He's in and out of the rotation. I think it's hard to find consistent minutes for him, but he's obviously got more value than, say, Kostas Koufos, and I'd love to see them get him into Koufos' role, and that could come, but that's really just going to be a deeper league sort of scenario. Justin Jackson, I don't think he's ever going to be a useful contributor. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. Make sure you guys are subscribing so you never miss an episode, and follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.